Bible says, now go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I just feel led to talk a little bit about revelation gifts before I get into the subject. 1 Samuel 1. And I already promised I wasn't going to teach you what I was saying on Sunday, but I'll teach you a bit now. 1 Samuel 1. Now we have Samuel's mother, obviously, by the name of Anna. That's something we just have to look at it again. You know, she was in a very dire situation. She was childless. And, you know, usually we give reasons for bad behavior. Sometimes you say, people should understand, you know, you have to know where I am. I was correcting someone just this evening. The person said, I'm so sorry, sir, and I didn't mean to. It was pressure. I said, no. It's character. The moment you are looking for an excuse, you won't change. Say, I need to develop in my character. Admit that first. I need to develop my character. And that's important. So, but she had enough situation to have an excuse. And it was 9. She rose up after they had eaten the shiloh and they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. She was mourning her soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Now, what had happened before was that she was mocked in that sense. And verse six says, adversary provoked her soul to make her fret because of her shut her room. So she had enough reasons to say, some of those things that people often say. But she didn't stop praying. She went to the temple to pray. And when she did, sometimes, you know, like I was saying this in that clip earlier today, that sometimes we miss it in simple details. And if you are not careful, your exposure to revelation knowledge. Let me give you an instance, you know. There's a way you know some people are religious. When I say religious, legalistic. And you probably have spoken about how can somebody carry a bottle of oil and call it the Holy Spirit. You're right. Right? And part of one guy like that who came to the room, myself and my friends were, this was maybe 95 or 4, one of those years. And my friend was trying to cook, fry plantain with olive oil. So I said, you're cooking with the Holy Ghost. You know, and which Holy Ghost? You know, I went on. But, you know, sometimes we have said those things so much that we along the lanes or lines, we might overlook some godly things. Because you look at how some of us, when you go to church, at the door, you do like this, you know. As you enter the service, you kneel down and pray. And now, we're in His presence, we have His presence, and all those things don't take away the fact that you have to revere His presence. In fact, the more of the Word of God you know, the more of that godly attitude you have to develop. Are you here? So sometimes we just lose sight of that. And we're in a very, very funny world. And a very interesting world where people very quickly disregard the things of God. I mean, in a very godless way. Now, she had enough reason. Elkanah tried to, console her. So in verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if you indeed look on the affliction of my handmaid and remember me, and not forget the handmaid, and will give unto the handmaid a man, child, then I'll give unto him the Lord of his life. So she made a commitment, you know. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. And Anna, she spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved. Now, that means she was talking. This is groaning of a sort. You didn't exactly hear her. She wasn't making noise in the service. She wasn't doing it for anyone. It wasn't for attention. It wasn't posting a prayer point on Facebook and saying, I have 1,000 amen. You know. And said, he thought she had been drunken. I said, how long will you be drunken? Put away wine from thee. Now, look at the contrast. A man of God who is meant to be God's prophet, who is supposed to be the answer, in that sense. I mean, you are in the temple. Now misses the point. You know, very easily you have said, God cannot use this person. Is that clear? This presumptuous person. Let's bring it home. I mean, she must have known Eli. Definitely. He's a known priest. I mean, and by the time we reached chapter 2, there was a gist about him in town and all that. Now, let's bring it home. You know, there's no way your spouse, your cousin, your sibling, your colleague at work will not have erred in things, made errors. And that's something, so so this man even missed it. I mean, for Gehazi to try to, today I always coach you when I say this, try to give Elijah Lamba. You are yet to tell me what it is. I just heard you say it one day and I picked up Lamba. For, is it Lamba, no? For Gehazi to try to Lamba, what's his name? Elijah. That means he must have seen Elijah in vulnerable moments, you know. I said, ah. So, Oga didn't know this will happen to Chelsea, you know. I don't want to say much tonight. I don't get it. Paul says, preach the word. The instant in season and out of season. Is that not what I meant by just speak to the word? I'm a look at that. So, you know, where are you coming from? I said, I'm coming from, okay. Yeah. So, it was just one of those times. And, but the truth is, many times, that's a test for us. You see, beyond getting results and blessedness in miracles, there's always a test of our faith and faithfulness that we often miss. So imagine that he first missed it. And about an attitude. Imagine that woman at the well who will say, and say, go and call your husband. And say, ah. What do you mean? She didn't say, what do you mean? Well, what nonsense are you saying? You know, there's something about the attitude that everyone just had. What's the attitude? And the attitude was, you notice, and he said, you are drunk here. It was so straightforward that you this drunken woman. Sometimes you have kept quiet. Some people have kept quiet. Okay, I'm sorry, sir. The person is in your house. That's the point. And you have seen the person make errors. The errors of judgment, you know. You may lose faith. You see, for some people. Someone said that, when I notice that I'm not receiving from somebody, I distance myself. I said, no, you have a character problem. Deal with that. It doesn't change that they have a character defect. Don't distance yourself. You simply double up how you see the person. Now, I'm not talking about home. I'm talking about the local church. It almost appears like the newer you are, the more you are able to receive. No, it's actually an attitude problem. There should be no one here who cannot minister to you. No one. Absolutely no one. Including... Now, as your pastor, let me tell you something. Sometimes when I told this to one pastor who came to me and we're praying here. And I said to him, have this wisdom. God has put people around you who are even under your care. Who he will put things he wants you to hear in their lips. But if you are used to not listening to them, you will not hear God. I'll just throw something out here. Something I've been praying about, and Lord, in God's story, he wants you to give respect to the people you are pastoring. And I'll say, guys, what do you think? And as they are speaking, they don't know that's what I'm doing. They are not listening to me. I'll do it another way. You know that's what I'm doing. And just something, I just go, that's it. You just with that light bulb, pam, 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 pam. You know? And that's out of respect. Now, imagine people that you collect. God is now using them to talk to you. That's it. Because you can get to a point that we start to feel,
high.
But Mali will call me highly. Some people are very high, you know, maybe you are not. You know, and that can also be with your children. You know, you just say, ah, you what? Oh, they look at this one, say, how old are you? 10 years old. 10 years old. But you know that when you were 10 and 11, you were hearing God. At least, let's speak in faith, but faith in the past. You know, and that's it. So she could have just gone, psh. But there's an attitude. So is that you're close to someone, is it close to people? No. You simply double up. Like the principle I've always told you, always go back to how you knew the person. Always. Go back and stay there. Anyone that familiarity catches up with is just carnal. Because God is going to keep using human beings. That's what he's going to do. Now look at what she did. She said, you drunken, put away your wine. The man was saying, how will you be this drunken? Put away wine from you. She said, no, my Lord. You know, imagine if you think honor there is, okay, sir. That's not honor. That's deception. Okay, sir. Instructions taken. That hypocrisy will finish you. Instructions taken, sir. Just go. How are you? Taken, sir. No. Look at the way she said it. And I always tell people that the organization, that this agreement is not an issue. It's an attitude. She just said, look, my Lord. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. Look at what she said, my Lord, my pastor, my brother. Man of God. There's something about, it's not title. There's title that people will, but something that in your heart. So fail to fail at using such things as titles. That is, or fail at doing it. What I'm saying is, when you say pastor, what about my pastor? And I'm saying, pastor Wumi. No. What's wrong with your pastor? Don't put name. Do you understand? You get it. Don't put name. You know that you won't call your dad. Daddy Shego. That's really me, where you are the second wife or third wife. You don't have to say that. Daddy is daddy now. So pastor. So a man of God. My man of God. Do you get it? You have done something. He said, my Lord. That was actually my master. What did Elisha say to Elijah? It was words. Words. There is no silent faith. So there is no silent honor of the things of God. As you are entering the service, you say, I'm going into the house of God, of believers who form the temple of God. And I know that every vessel is filled. Everyone is a blessing to me. You know, some people like who say things like, my church is the best church in the world. How does that hurt you? My church is always a blessing. I love my church. You know, say those things often. What about taking it home? I love my family. I love my husband. I love my children. I love my family. I keep saying that God uses them to bless me. God uses her to bless me. God uses him to bless me. You know, that's what she says. No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk either wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Now, count not the handmaid. Look at the words she kept using, the daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my... And how you know that she was... So people, they will do this work before they receive a miracle. They will be kneeling down, they will be saying, yes, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, pastor, I have a blessing. But when you use them, you use them again. She actually brought Samuel back. So it was genuine. It was sincere. What she said was sincere. What she said was sincere. And when she said that, Eli didn't say, oh, I'm sorry. He said, She had just said, "Yeah, she's looking for sorry." "Oh, woman of God, I'm sorry." "No problem, sir." "Yes, yes, sir." "Did you say I'm sorry?" "Yes, sir." "Go in peace." And God of Israel granted your petition. "Yes, sir." "Which God of Israel?" "The one that you do not even know." "The man cannot even be repentant." After I said, I explained, I even called him Lord, though. I called myself, and I don't know how old he is. I'm calling him, "If he is here, I'm sorry." I know words have indicators in the spirit world. They do. They do. So she just said, "Let your handmaid find grace in your sight." And she went and went to. So she released her faith. She went to eat and she became glad. Are you here? There are people around you that hold answers. They are always holding answers. In the church, at home, they have answers. That's why we must warn against things like strife. So I was telling me yesterday that she just discovered that jealousy can be very subtle. And it's true, can be very subtle. And I said, the way to break jealousy is don't do comparison. Don't compare yourself. Don't do it. Don't. Even when people try to drag you into it, don't do it. Don't do it. It won't work. It won't work. Don't do it. Don't even. Even when people drag you into it, you just walk in love. And that thing can happen among siblings. My dad had to tell me one thing. He said he apologized. That he had done, so, he was trying to get back at me for something. So he was not comparing me and my brother. And he said it so often. And he now discovered that I walked in love more towards him. So when he was going to apologize, he said to me, he said, "You really behave like a very, very mature adult." I said, "I didn't." Eventually, when he and my brother, when they had their wala, he would bring him to me that, "You are the one, you are the only one." So I was telling somebody in ministry, I said, the why it was possible was that I never walked in the flesh. I mean, it was one day, he said, it was so funny. Because of ministry, he told me in a family party, he said, really from his heart, he wished this was his first son. Publicly. I didn't say, Not one iota. I just felt that. Well, it's not. that's the most important thing. So, as I said, you are stupid. Doesn't mean I'm not. I know I'm not stupid though. I'm not at all. No, that's not bothering me. So listen. You try to compare yourself. Say, she's. This one is better than in your heart. But you say, "Oh, bless you, man." You're not going to. So just don't walk in jealousy. Those things. And learn to resolve issues quickly at home. Is that clear? I know you want to prove the point. You know? So, you have to avoid it. Sometimes you fight over saying, "Why do you leave the kitchen like this? Kitchen, no?" And the glory will not lift. Kitchen say, no, I don't like my kitchen like this. My kitchen. I don't like my kitchen like this. Rats are there. And they're flowing with ease. It's with ease. Yes, it's human being. You now leave the house. "I don't like my kitchen, my kitchen. You're just thinking. Very, 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 very terrible. My kitchen. No flow of the Holy Ghost, nothing. They're not praying the spirit. My kitchen. See, the kitchen, it comes another tongue. Kitchen. You know, just resolve it. Okay? Of course, now, don't go and meet someone and say, "Pastor, so you resolve me. You go and make the kitchen and say, "Resolve me." You know the only ghost who pray in this house, "Resolve me." If you say that, Belial, instead of Belial. You know, and that's it. We can create more room. You know, create more room. rather sing songs like maybe at the moment we are fighting or something. You never see me come. And you don't sing songs like Revelation gives. Not singing that home. You just you are singing that you are smiling. You don't sing that home. So you are something else. We see what? Okay, we see about now. Okay, we need our faith. Amen. In that direction. Praise God. I will see revelation gifts flow with ease. Amen. Peter was on the top of the roof of his house. Is that clear? Stand for, I mean, that's why it's good to stay upstairs. I will have revelation gifts. You know, it doesn't have to be church service. Is that clear? But look at Anna. Let's take it home. She will lose her faith. I mean, she had reasons to. I say, boy, I understand. So, when people are telling you, they understand you, they understand you. At some point, they are going to get in trouble. I understand how you feel. They know you are walking in the way. I understand how you feel. They know you did. You saw that way. I understand. You know, it's not easy. I know you are human. Human? That's why no one could bypass you. You are human. No worries. You'll be human. I'm human. You are human. You know, I understand. You know, you have to let it out. Say, let it out. Say, breathe, breathe. You're telling me, Christian, breathe. Can you imagine? I saw someone tell you, I say, no, breathe. Where is that scripture? Breathe. I don't know scripture. Be careful for nothing. Rejoice again. Say, breathe. We are carnal, we're lying. Say, breathe. No, no, look at that. Breathe. Why not say be anxious for nothing? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Say, yeah, breathe. After church, after you know, breathe. Oh my, no lies. Breathe. My guy, breathe. Ajay, breathe. You know, breathe. M-O-G. Say rejoice. Say, give thanks to the Lord. Use the word now. Yes. Well, it's breathe. Amen? Amen. We walk in the honor of God. The honor of God. You know, I said that it's not just, sometimes you think honor is about your pastor. No. It's folks around you. I just said, even those in your cell group, that you are their cell leader. Folks in your fellowship. Siblings. You know? Shout out, Peter. Well, Jesus, depart from me. But by the time he said, everybody blows the toilet. He said, emoji. Emoji Jesus. You can just maintain the same favor. Is that clear? I'll get more on it on Sunday. Amen. How we can actually see the sacred place beyond just the church service. But our collective gathering. Amen. Amen. Are you here? 1 Timothy 3. Please, I don't want you to just hear this thing I just laugh. Consciously act on it, okay? Consciously act on it. Of course, there's a flip side. And I used to have married couples when I'm counseling them. But especially when one of them is a pastor, they say, look, don't take that thing home more. So if you're acting like a pastor at home, it's not good. It's not even right. At home, you are husband and wife. Amen. Who are men and women of God. Okay? So you say, whenever I see this house, it's swimming. So you don't want to rule over you. So you say, a chief. That's manipulation. That's manipulation. You know, and I think I'm very easy there, Pastor, because you almost, you be kind, man of God is in home. Man of God is in home. Yeah. Only who's that? You have to honor. Say honor. Let's take that later, okay? I know you want me to go in that direction. I can see how your faith has been released. Just call, say, Pastor, go on. look at your husband and say that this is what you should be hearing, you know. 1 Timothy 3:15. But by time longer thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So Paul is referring to our meetings as a building. So I must treat this as a sacred place. We said that already. That when we come together, Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together, there I am. So we looked at Matthew 28:18. All authority is given me in heaven and on earth. There is a union of heaven and earth. There is a union of mankind, all nations. There is a union of God and man. And I showed you that also on Sunday, in the Great Commission, in Mark 16. Let's go to Matthew 28 again. All authority is given me in heaven and earth. Heaven and earth is together there. Matthew 28:18-19. Go and teach all nations. Lo, I am with you. 20. Alright. So look at Mark 16. Verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that a union? Huh? Okay, good. Now look at verse 19. So after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up unto heaven and sat on the right hand of God, or at the right hand of God, both ways. We have heaven and earth there. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. So the Great Commission shows us that union, the house of God factor. Heaven and earth is there, all nations is there, God and man. Luke 24. And verse 49. Let's start from 47. Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. Begin at Jerusalem. Your witness of this is 49. Behold, as all nations in the union, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Upon you, you shall be endued with power from on high. So we have a union of God and man, and heaven and earth also in the Great Commission. And that is the picture of the house of God. So in the house of God, heaven and earth is together. In the house of God, nations are together. In the house of God, we are together. Sometimes we just talk about, oh, it's God and man and all that. But there's also mankind and heaven and earth. Those are the realities of our coming together. Nations are together. Okay? Heaven and earth are together. God and man are together in the same place. So our meetings mirror God's sacred purpose for a sacred place in the earth. We've gone already to see. So we said that when he says, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. If two shall agree as to anything that is done, shall be done there, my Father in heaven on earth. Whatever you bind on earth, bind in heaven. So that means our gathering is heaven and earth in the same place. But what we do is heaven and earth. Whatever we bind here is bound in heaven, because heaven is here. So our assembly is an assembly of heaven and earth, God and man, and mankind. Is that very clear? So we must be conscious of the three concepts of our assembly. Usually we are more conscious, or most, of that God and man fact. We also don't know that we can, now look at this, we won't get as much as we should get in our fellowship with God, if we don't pay attention to our fellowship with one another and to the arena that we are in, which is heaven and earth. So, if I just come to the service and I'm like, it's God, it's God, it's God, it's God, it's God. Mm-mm. It's a union of God and man. It's a union of mankind and heaven and earth. I must have that consciousness in the meetings. That's why, talking about the glory of God, Psalm 29 says, in that temple they say glory. That must be my consciousness. And my consciousness and my meditation will also be seen in my words. So last week we said what should be my desire in this holy, sacred ground? I desire the things of the Spirit. I desire the things of the Spirit. I desire the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians again, chapter 12, verse 31. Now, let's figure a few things out. You know, this was Sunday, but I'll just say it again. You know, when Jesus got into the temple in John 2, and of course, the Luke 19, Matthew 21, and Mark 11, all the four Gospels captured it. The first thing he did was that he put order. He put order. In illustrating things, he said, no, this ought not to be like this. So, if we are going to experience great moves of God in our services, in our meetings, we must put things in order. I mentioned on Sunday an attitude, for example, of punctuality. If you know it's a sacred place, you will treat it in a sacred way. You would not, you know, just treat it anyhow, just come and say, now, here's the world. No, no. You will have the attitude that where I'm going to, heaven and earth are together. I know God is there. You know, I mentioned that this was even personal. I'll just mention that I don't usually put this in doctrine, but this is just by the way. A few years ago, the Lord just pointed my attention that overemphasis that we're so conscious of the Holy Ghost within, but we now even change songs of God in our midst to God in us, that people will no longer be able to receive from other people. So, if my focus is on the Holy Ghost in me, I'll be more particular about ministering to you. Sometimes you're showing off. So the ability to receive will be because it's not about God in us, it's about God, you know. Yes, we know that the Holy Ghost within us is the Holy Ghost upon us and around us. But you see, we have to know it on those three levels. Think of people like Kenneth Hagin that taught about this, the spirit upon, spirit within, spirit without, or spirit, you know, in our midst. You must aggregate it together. It's something you must be very, very conscious of. I'm using the word conscious again. And we get to that point that it's just about have the Holy Ghost within, you know, have the Holy Ghost within, the Holy Ghost. No, the Holy Ghost also is amongst us. Hallelujah. When he says you are the temple of God, for the Spirit of God dwells, he was talking about the assembly. In 1 Timothy 3:1, just right now, says the house of God. He was talking about the assembly. In Ephesians 2:22, says we form a habitation of God through the Spirit. The assembly is in view. So we must love the assembly. We must be conscious of what's going on in the assembly. So Jesus said, no, you cannot. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. Mark 11:17. You have made it. So we are the ones that are making this house what it is. When I remember TJ knows this down, my friend TJ. He says that church is what you make it to be. That you come from home with a consciousness, a faith life of the church service that you are eventually going to see. And that's true. So it says you have made it a den of thieves, a house of merchandise. You have made it. Which means that it's up to us. And we said for Jacob, when he got up from that vision, he was afraid. Oh, respect. And he says, this is a dreadful place, it's awesome. The Lord was there, I did not know. He was afraid. The attitude of reverential respect, he gave it to that assembly. We should respect our assembly. And this is not just a Sunday service, Wednesday service. I'm saying the cell group meetings. I'm saying the fellowship services, the workers meeting. You know, you just be using your phone, you just be doing all those very ridiculous things. Imagine having to put it on the screen. Please switch off your phones. Abba. That's not becoming of you. And you also have to come and tap you. You know, stop making noise. That shows you have a bad attitude. Stop making noise. Why should they tell you things like that? If you know where you are, except you're a new convert, they will tell you, you should know where you are and what you are here for. You should have your Bible. You should know it's a sacred place. And I said this on Sunday that, you know, we used to say, how can somebody say he wants to pray, bring us handkerchief? But the truth is that that person respects prayer. Thinks that prayer is a holy thing. Yes, of course, you don't have to cover your hair to pray and all of that. That's legalism. If our Bible interpretation goes to seed. But you know, you can have a good attitude in prayer or to prayer that depicts what those folks do by covering their hair. You know? You can. You should. So, we carry that attitude to the place. This is sacred ground. Jesus drove them out and he began to teach and he healed the sick. He taught, he healed the sick. He taught, he healed the sick. There are activities that are not permitted here. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said to them, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 22, have you not houses to eat and drink? Or despise ye, verse 22, the church of God. That's the assembly. Why? Because some folks were proving to have what others didn't have. He said, you are despising the church of God. You are shaming those who don't have. So, our attitude, even about material things, it's not about gifts of the Spirit. It's about, oh, I have, you don't have. Paul says that you are shaming the house of God. Because it defeats the very reason why this place is a sacred ground. So we have that attitude. The attitude must come in our attendance. And beyond the attendance, after you have left service, when you are coming from home, what do you say? What are the things that you say? How do you say them? You know? How do you say them? Those are important things you say. But you know, I was saying the other day that imagine if you prepared for every church service the way you prepare for special meetings and just prepare for every church service. Today I will be blessed. Power of God will minister to me. The word of God will come with clarity to me. You know, the flow of the Holy Ghost will reach me. And I'll be, imagine saying that every service. Every service. You know? So, we both developed such attitude. Number one, put things in order. Put things in order. And we have to do that in the churches too. Put things in order. It's not everything we do here. You know, in verse 34, Paul says, the rest I will set in order when I come. I will set it in order. Don't come to... Okay, let me use one more. Verse 17. It says, now this I say, I read on Sunday, I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. So which means that short meetings are supposed to make us better, right? Aha. There must be transformation taking place. Not for the better, except but for the worse. That you come together, and why? Why did they get worse in the church service? Because of the attitude. Put this somewhere in your notes. Attitude is everything. Is everything. How I see the service. Attitude is everything. Alright. So last week we said in 1 Corinthians 4:31, he says, covet earnestly the best gift. This is in the assembly. So I'm supposed to have a desire for the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. Covet earnestly the best gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow after charity. Desire spiritual gifts. Rather you may prophesy. I should desire spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. Zealous of spiritual gifts. Zealous. Notice the attitude he puts it. Zealous. A boiling point spirit. Attitude. 1 Corinthians 14. Again, in verse 39, covet to prophesy. forbid not to speak with tongues. You can't overlook this. It's so clear that you have a role to play in what happens in a Christian meeting. It's a holy ground. I said the other day, I must first of all recognize it is. I must now respect it. Now, look at the attitude that will show whether I respect the assembly or not. I will not do everything or anything there, one. I will desire spiritual things. Desire supernatural experiences. Desire the word of God to grow, for example, in my life. Now, let's see something else. Okay, let's go to Genesis 28. One more. Just, I said this on Sunday. I'll just repeat it again. What did Jacob do? He took the stone, Genesis 20, quickly, verse 18, set up for his pillar and poured oil upon it. Now, I showed you the Hebrew word. It's not pour, like just, you know, have some drops, you know, on it. The Hebrew there means to literally plaster the whole surface. So when they use anoint in the Hebrew, it's like you will immerse whatever it is into the object. He poured out olive oil on the top of it. Now, notice that the word used here to pour out is the same Hebrew word for the outpouring of the Spirit in Joel 2:28. He poured the oil on top of it. The Hebrew is the word yashak. It means, I showed you on Sunday, Genesis 38:14. It means to put it all over the surface. So it wasn't just symbolical. It all over the surface. What does that tell us? It shows us that there is no part of the service of what you do here that we should not respect. So I say, well, when pastor comes out to preach, no. The place, the gathering itself, the pastor does not confer the sacredness on the assembly of the saints. The pastor is a part of it. He doesn't confer it. He himself has to submit to it. The sacredness of where we are is not the pastor preaching. It's not, no. It is who we are and whose we are. So he practically anointed every bit of the service with the shemen. The shemen that shows life, sacredness. So the use of oil shows you that it's a heavenly assembly, a supernatural assembly. So I must know it and I must treat it that way. Now, I'm saying in other words that my attitude towards church has to reflect what I'm hearing. It has to reflect it. What I'm hearing must be reflected in it. In my attitude towards punctuality, late coming, study of the word of God, you know, the way I talk about the service. You know, for some of us, we used to talk about the service after church. And this is very subtle. You now become a pastor. You are now a leader. You are now more about, you know, you no longer, you know, talk about, oh, that was a wonderful service. Oh, that was a blessed service. Ah, wow. You know, I learned something from my cousin. This was years back. I was late 93. His pastor, I saw a note. What happened was I read Art of Intercession in his library, Art of Intercession. So I now saw a note he wrote to his pastor. So I saw like a series of notes. So now I wrote the pastor. So I just asked him. He said, well, that he believes that when he says that, I'm going to quote him verbatim, that the anointing on his life becomes stronger, and that's going to bless him. It was in just writing notes, you know. So I said, I just took a mental note of that. That there's something you say about the service that will make you like something will just increase at the next one. We have to understand that this place is supernatural. And the laws are supernatural. So, you just after the service, I'm sure you have a friend, you say, That was such a blessed time. I mean, lovely times of prayer, the worship, and you talk about the word, talk about, then after a while, you don't talk about that again. You are in leadership now, you're not about, hey, what happened to the AC? What, you know, this is okay, I'll take care of that. Hey, what, the sound, you're no longer talking about the meeting itself. Oh, what a service. Oh, what a service. What an awesome meeting. Whoa, glory to God. Jesus was glorified, and he's still glorified. The word was taught, the Holy Ghost had recourse. I'm not asking you to go and put it on Twitter. I'm saying something you say. That what a service we had. Imagine going home and just turning to the people in the car and say, what a great service we had. You know, and you're in the car, you all just sang one of the songs in the service. What are you doing? You are enhancing the flow of the next service. It's a sacred place. Now, let me ask you, what I'm saying, how many of you know what I'm saying? You have done it before. Let me raise your hand now. I have seen it before. Usually we don't keep those basic things. We don't, you know, some things are simple. Just keep at it. What a great service. Before the service, what a great service we are going to have. What a move of God today in today's service. You know, after the service, you just say that. Because that's what it is. So he anointed it. And in Genesis 31, I showed you the 13. Lord said to him, I'm the God of Bethel, which you anointed, which you kept secret. I'm the God of the place that you kept secret. So our attitude must be like that. And that goes to every meeting. I'm just here to receive. I told you now, you know this story very well. Yeah, I was going to Winter Bible Seminar and I just felt that I was late. I was tired, sorry. I said, no. I was tired. Just do myself that I will attend the next session. That I was convincing myself. You know what I mean? I convinced myself. And if I picked my phone and I told you that I have to attend the session, and you say, I say, no, all my legs, everything is so speed. In fact, to even be, you say, it's true. You say, go and rest. But I know in my heart of heart that I was deceiving myself. So I just said, how would I come all the way? And I'll come and sleep. So I said, let me go. And I know I was grudging when I was going, but at least I went. Because at the end of the day, I would have missed the hotel and I would grudge, begrudgingly grudge, and mumbling would be loud. Because I won't be able to go to anywhere. I just said, well, I should be blessed here anyway. You know? So what do you say? It's like the AC. You know? This is too, what's happening now? It's all shy. This AC is too. That's all you are saying about the meeting. So please go and tell it's just this someone telling me said the space. Say my weight. He said, before I navigate my body, you know, he said, I like a church where they can give you space. You know, space. I said, have you been to Resurrection Camp before? He wants us to remain house fellowship. So you have space. I said, no. Go and be in your sitting room. Well, there's no space here. This is not supposed to be leisure, where you now be creating your space for your navigation. No. So look at the things you are saying. You're saying about the meeting afterwards. You know, sometimes maybe you're in charge of, you just say, and you're just using your, no, this is a sacred area. Amen. It's a sacred place. And you have to say the right things. He said, in his temple, they say glory. Is that it? Yeah, they do. So, we treat it that way. We anoint it. We expect the move of God. God is here. The Holy Ghost is here. The power of God is here. Amen. The heavenlies are here. Amen. Spiritual believers are here. Amen. That's what's here. And we'll see his move in the earth here. So we must have that attitude. That attitude. And I'm saying that, you know, when I get to the pastor, you are now in the music team, maybe you are now in the ushers, you are no longer talking about where you are. You are focused on those things that you are doing. You say, okay, you are not really saying, look, the glory of God is here, the house, this is the house of glory. And we have revelation here. We have the move of God here. That's why somebody will be an usher, and he's not praying in tongues, he's not doing anything, he's just saying, oh yeah, right, like, brother, now, yeah, okay. He just says like that. So when they're having worship, he's not singing. Say, so raise your hands, lift your hands. He just says, please lift your hands. Please lift your hands. Please. No, please lift your hands. He said, lift your hands. Lift it. No. And the holy ground. Amen. Alright. So let's see another thing, quick one. Because 1 Timothy 3:15 says, is a building. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, you are laborers together, verse 9, with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. So, it's a building. We are walking together with Him. So, I must have the attitude to build other people. Church is a place where we build people. Amen? We build people. We're a union, so we build people. We build people. So I must also be conscious of edifying others. That's why in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul uses the word edify so many times. In verse 3, in verse 4, in verse 5, edify. In verse 12, in verse 16 and 17 together, in verse 19 implied, of course, 21 and 22, when he's speaking from Isaiah 28. Then, in verse 26 through to 40 altogether. It's about building. So, I am not seeking the things of the Spirit for self. It's to build. When we say the earth is his resting place, by strength we go, we'll never know defeat. Resting through his church. This is what we're talking about, the church. So which means that I must want to help others. I must have an attitude to helping others in a church meeting. Selfishness is an anti-sacred place attitude. It's selfish. Last week we spoke about not being mournful about sinful conduct. Paul says, no, you can't come together and be gloating. This place, so you can do it in the world, but here, no, you can't gloat. You must be mindful. It's God's sacred place. 1 Corinthians 5:13, he says, you cast such a thing out. It must not be named amongst you. Also, he spoke about selfishness. You cannot be selfish. No, you can't. You can't be. Be sacrificial. You must serve. You can't be. So the things of the Spirit are to be ministered through the hands of love. The house of God can only be built with love, even when you are correcting people, when you are judging, it has to be in the spirit of love. Always in love. Let me say something else. I mentioned this on Sunday. Somebody told me this in service and said that somebody came up to her and asked a question, and I was going to say this earlier when we were ministering to another, and the person said, oh, that he had this word of knowledge and word of wisdom, and the Lord is saying, you must be wise. The Lord is saying, man, it's a work you should start in your school. I said, why should the person say that when he knows or she knows you have a pastor? No, you don't say that. You know, that statement is it. If anyone will have you start a work in a local church, it is your pastor that will tell you. And those are the things people say that will divide churches. So even if you have something like that, if I would like minister it, I'll just come and say, well, that I sense the Lord wants to do something in your church and he wants you to be very active about it. And I'll just pray with you, you know, that you'll be conscious and receive it. That's how to minister it in love. You hear what I just said? That's how to minister it in love. You just say, I just see you step out now. Step out. Step forth. Step in. Step out. Let's just step out of the moving vehicle. Step forward. Step forth. You know, no. There's order. That's why it says the spirit of the prophets are subject. That was spirit. There's things on the spirit. Pneumaticus. They are subject. That is, the things of the spirit flow through, they are subject to you. They are. I think I said it last week. The only administration, I just called the pastor. Let's minister together. Let's minister together. It's just wisdom. And you also, I sense this. There was a church. I think I said, it wasn't here I said last week. I knew that a guy was going to be the next pastor. I didn't tell him. I called the pastor. I said, this guy, where I'm saying it. I said, yes, yes, I said, yeah. I didn't call the guy. I said, you know what? I'll tell your pastor. That's division. It's division. You know? And many things. We were saying something yesterday. This is a very funny thing, but myself, Pastor Sumi and Pastor Karani. And I think, okay, Karani was there, so I'm Brodan. So we're not talking about, went to my hometown. So went to see some things and all that. So when I come, I was telling him some stories of how we grew up. I said, you know, the family usually used to bond well on the Pentecostals came. Everybody now became a witch. So now you greet your aunties and you before you eat something from your aunt, just say, pray. And when I said, I don't think just brought division. Or is there somebody in your family standing against your success? You know, I'm saying she is fair and complex. And there's nobody. I don't have division with that. People will start, I remember from two siblings, one came to the house. So when they came to the house, and I knew two of them. They were not twins. And I said, okay, the person, one knowing the sister was coming, already anointed the seat. I don't know why you anointed the seat of your enemy. That one came, as soon as she saw the anointing, she put her own oil. What did they both hear? See, somebody's, you know, the old man was telling me, pastor, he said he told him that his wife is not succeeding. I said, Mo, you believe that? I said, well, boy, I'm moving on you. You don't know how to spend money. I saw how you were spending money. Church, company account, bula, bo, ba, ah. Ah. I said, that's not your wife. Well, she was spending it. Well, what's spending it now? Ah. What's your prophet is telling you? Our prophet will also collect money. So, why would the business go down? So, don't bring division. You know, there are some things that, even if you know, just say, you know, I perceive that your family, love, you must build. You must build. Is that clear? You must build. I won't go to anyone's church and see them and just say, and I sense, I've seen it happen before. And the man was confused. He said, what are you doing here? The pastor of the church said, you are more than this. You are, and that's how the guy started misbehaving. He told me himself. But it's very possible that the man saw something global about his ministry. What was the wise thing to do? You know? He said, let the other judge. That means you don't judge. There's wisdom. One will build. You know, when I was saying things like, you know, take some time to pray and of course share with your pastor and with brethren, you know, Look at Acts 13. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I've called them. You know, and the church prayed with him. He didn't just say, I see Paul stand forth. For you are beyond Antioch. Antioch is not the realm. Antioch, not the realm. For it's Asia, saith the Lord. Asia, 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 not Antioch. Oh! The word came such a way that everyone was able to pray together with it. That's why, be careful, others will give you, well, and you are not like that. There's nobody in this church that receives prophecies in box. Or I will box you. We send you prophecy. I don't do those kind of things. We send you prophecy. Someone say, you are, someone told me, you said, sir, the person I mean came for camp meeting or maybe one of those meetings. Now I said, do you have a word for me? I said, two, shut up. What are you looking for? 5 days of Bible teaching. Holy Ghost with the right, center, left. Glory, and you are still looking for a word. Oh, really? You will see, what are you looking for again? The one you have, and you are reading, you will forget the notes in the service. Hold it. Oh, now you come and cut cake for birthday, you forget the... Is that a rubber window? So be careful. Don't go to people's homes and begin to say things like, you know, I said, Someone told me, well, say, what do you say about my husband? I said, I won't tell you. So let's just pray and stand in faith. Well, someone in Bagada also said, no, I said, I won't tell you. I'll go and tell you now. You say, oh boy, sit down. I think you did not edify now. You just called division. And what you did? Is that clear? We build. Is that clear? We build. We build. That's what we're going to do. We build with the things of God's Spirit. We build with words. Let's also get used to speaking words that will build others in the church. Was at camp meeting, I just saw that thing. Once, I think it was Friday afternoon. And I just said, let's just be speaking words of encouragement. A lot. Words of encouragement. And it will be a new vista, particularly in a world now being triggered with anger. See, since COVID, people have just been angry unknowingly. I'm just angry about life, about the world. And I told someone this. I said, look, in the history of civil protests in the world, the most prominent thing that happens about civil protests is atheism. People just throw caution to the wind. Say, anger, bottles of anger. People can't imagine why they cannot leave their house. And then you cover their nose. Cover your nose, wear mask, wear glove. Be washing hands all over the place like you are worshipping something. When that thing started, it was so bad. Every social has somebody wash your hands. Where are we going here? So you go, in the pastor, I cough 4 times. I said, don't you cough properly? I'm just wondering whether I have. So there was fear. There was, you know, unrest. There was fear, unrest. There were economic issues that came up. People were just angry. Just angry at everything. They don't even know who they're angry at. No. But we are the church of God. And in this place, we throw words of encouragement. We build people up. People will find hope in our words. It's sacred area. The power of God is here. It will cure all those defects. It'll cure them. All those defects. Somebody was, years back, we had these meetings called them dynamic meetings. So that brother told me, after the service, he just said, I want to show you something. I said, what? He just showed me a letter. He said, I've written you a letter that I was going to take my life. I said, what? He said, I was talking to someone having their home and all that. He said, but when I came in, he said, from the atmosphere, actually two people said it, another sister said it. He said, I just felt an atmosphere of love. That there was just something that took it off my mind. And in one moment I was talking about, what was I preaching? I was preaching Hebrews 2:4. Signs, wonders, miracles, use of the Holy Ghost. There was nothing, I was explaining doses, dorima, that's what I said. There was nothing encouraging in what I was saying. But the atmosphere of prayer was such that, you know, there was just a lot that happened. Do you understand? So we can have that atmosphere in praying and release the love of God. The love of God can be ministered supernaturally. That you, it's not like you give somebody anything, but he just knows that I'm just at home here. God loves me. Do you know? And that's what this house is, a secret area where the love of God is given. So a preacher cannot afford to use his pulpit for anger. Anger against government, anger against society, anger against Islam, anger against other churches. No. No. That's why I tell pastors, be careful what you read. Don't tell me, somebody told me about you. I said, I didn't see it. Because by the time I see somebody, by going on social media, I have a block making factory. On social media, I block. One day I called it where I blocked. I was reaching 5,000 or something. I won't read it. When I say something, I say, but you say, I just block it. So I won't have time to think it and start getting angry. You don't be angry. You are just upset. You just go off and be angry to people that are not on Facebook. Say, why did you put this in here? Is somebody else that I met you? You now get to church. You're supposed to build the church. You want to be edified. You now be answering somebody who is not in the service. The people that are not coming, what is it? Because you read the wrong thing. Do you understand? You'll be answering this. See, we are coming to it. What's wrong, Pastor? We're coming to it! Who is here that has covered your way? You don't know. You have to read to it. Do you understand? So, don't use your congregation to the lamp of God that takes you to the whole world. You should not be the one that will bear the sufferings of other people. So don't use it as a problem for anger. We build people. Encouragement. The world is full of anxiety. The world is full of uncertainties. Do you understand? Someone was telling me this, was it 2-3 Sundays ago, that when you spoke about what will satisfy humanity, and you said, look, the person was telling me, he said, I was given to read. He said, but when you said it, I have money, I have a very good job, I have a good family business, and everything is fine. Say, but there's that gap. Say, when man said that, look, that the need of man is not money. That God created man that way. No, he said it was a carpenter. So I knew this is it. There's no way the prosperity gospel can answer it. Because they will say, just believe and you get it. When you get it, you now get it. And you now want more. You now want more. That's how you know that that's not the solution. You just want more immediately. You just put a brand new car. 22 model. Say another one. So which model is that one? 24. Say, you don't need that one. What did they say? How much is it? Chief. That's the nature of those things. But we have the life of God. We are in his holy land. We are where he wants us to be. Like that same writer says, I'm in the center of God's will for my life. There's nothing as beautiful as that. Where you are not there and say, nobody is doing anything. I'm glad I belong to Jesus. I'm glad I have the joy of salvation. So this atmosphere can emit things like that. Can minister it. And how does it happen? When we want to build. If we're all here, everybody's trying to show off his wristwatch, everybody's trying to show off the phone he's using, everybody's trying to show off that I have more money, everybody's trying to show off the kind of car he drives, everybody's trying to show off, everybody's trying to show off, I'm married, I'm not married, I have children, I don't have children, and my home is better than your own. And when those kind of things happen, we're in trouble. tribal issues. I'm from this tribe. I'm from that tribe. We're double. I have PhD. The other person has OND. D is in the two. One has PhD. I just start saying that. You know what else? We are taking out the glory. It may be acceptable in the world. You know, someone told me I couldn't attend our class set meeting. But when I bought the car, he said I came. So he now bought the car. They attended another one. He wanted to show off. He now went to take a car. That's someone else's car. To come and show off at his class set meeting. The car now had an accident. No, he was supposed to sell the car. The car now had an accident. He couldn't even show off. He now showed off the car to the police. He said, I won't attend. Let me wait until I have this thing before I show up. You can't do that in church. So you lost your job. I can't go to church. Say, why? You that already know me as happening guy. I returned my official car. I will now get down with my wife. No. Let me wait till my story will change. Because you know, you now go on some of these prayer platforms. Hold your head. My story will change. I told someone, I said, how long will you only pray like this? Every Monday, my story will change. Every Tuesday, my story will change. You're in bondage. Because your story has to keep changing. Every Jesus. And the platforms are multiplied now. You see, this is the week of the dew. My story will change. You say, every calabash has been broken. You go and break calabash. Okay? You say, I will not suffer loss this week. Another prayer for suffer loss. Are you not suffering loss? Amen. There's love here. And there's the power of God's Spirit. We build one another. And I want to make a commitment, you know, to be part of what God is doing in your church, in your fellowship. I will be available to love. I will be available for the love of God's Spirit. You know, we will make it easy for people to experience the liquid love of God when we come together. Amen. We'll make it easy. There will be no strife on our hearts. There will be nothing we are wrestling with. Because the love of God overwhelms us. And we are building. We will not give revelation gifts that will tear down peoples. That will tear down ministries. No. None. And you know, I have times like that. I have things that God should, I'll just call the pastor. God showed me so and so about this person. And all of that. There was someone like that. The person was offended. Reached out to me and said, so I said, have you told your pastor? I said, no. Yeah, when somebody asked me a question anyway, I said, who is your pastor? So I said, but sir, no, tell me. Because I know that beyond you being blessed, there's something beyond it. Your life must be in order. Many of the people are looking for temporary blessings. Oh, and the order that comes with it. We have love here. Amen? And that's how we treat one another. And let's take it home too. We have love at home, right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Resolve it. I tell people, couples should have limit. I say, we are going to fight 1 hour. Whenever we are in the flesh. 1 hour is our limit. Sir, only small, though. It's small. My own flesh is too heavy. Can we do 1 week? Only 1 hour. Let's say, I just won't go give me 30 minutes every day. Just walking, just 30 minutes. He said, I'm sure the rapture will not happen before then. But you know, just have an agreement that or you have an agreement that both of you will not just be upset at the same time. Because no matter how much you hear the word of God, be angry and say, don't be angry, sing. Look, guys. You know, after a while, I stop using the word anger, I'll say, upset. So I always say, I was angry, I say, I'm just upset. Hey, girl, you know you're talking to me. upset. Is that now upset? You just said yourself, oh boy, this is the flesh. And that's what it is. It's the flesh. So you can actually, I close here, you can actually decide
that we will not go beyond 1 hour. We won't. Sometimes we say, I won't call him. I called you last week. I told myself this time I won't call you. That's greater flesh. You are revenging.
No, no.
Amen. And we're going to see the gifts of the Spirit in a ceaseless flow at home, at work, and in church meetings, in cell group meetings, in fellowship meetings. Because it's a sacred place. There can't be strife here. It's too holy. There can't be selfishness. It's too holy for you. This is holy ground. There can't be lasciviousness, looseness and lightness towards sin here because it's holy ground. We don't treat sin with levity here because it's holy ground. We don't treat men without honor. It's holy ground. The love of God overwhelms our hearts. Amen. Let's just stand to our feet and pray in tongues. Oh, we bless your name.